There's a YouTube channel called Epic Rap Battles of History where the creators of the channel take on different roles of different characters of history and then have a rap battle. One of their more popular ones is Gandhi versus Martin Luther King Jr. You want to battle with? See who's a better pacifist? I fought the caste system, but you still cannot touch this. Slumdog's billionaire, first name Messiah. Rap so hot, I spit yoga fire. You're the king of civil rights from the city to suburbia. No shoes, no shirt, but I'm still gonna serve you. Make you swallow your words so you can break the fast. Then thank God Almighty you can eat at last. I admire the way you... And me and my wife almost never watch any YouTube videos together because YouTube's just not our jam. But we always watch these together because we kind of see how much creative thought and understanding of history and skill it really takes to kind of put one of these rap battles together in an entertaining and funny and engaging way. In today's episode of the Tom Gibson Podcast, we are exploring how you can use rap battles in your classroom to give students an opportunity to be creative in showing what they know. I sat down with my friend Shalimar, who's been doing this in her class for several years.
My name is Shalimar Chiesa, and I've been teaching for 13 years. This is my going into my 10th year here at Headwaters, and I'm currently teaching early American history and world geography.
I overheard you in the teacher's lounge talking about a rap battle lesson. So what class are you doing this in?
I'm doing the rap battle lesson right now in my early American history class, but it might be something that shows up later on this year in my world geo class as well.
Okay, could you describe what a rap battle is and how you actually use it in a classroom?
Yeah, absolutely. So a rap battle is just a project that I give my students in place of an assessment, because a few years ago, I was looking for creative ways to assess my middle schoolers. I don't think that middle school students always need to take a traditional test in order to assess their understanding. So I wanted to give creative opportunities for them to display their knowledge. So what they do is they write a narrative, and I think that narratives are the oldest way that we've learned anyway. Like if you look back at biblical days, or if you look at the Epic of Gilgamesh, like that's the ultimate narrative written in verse form. The students are really in touch with pop culture and music. And whenever I was younger, I used to love writing raps to learn the material for my classes. So I kind of introduced this in part because it was something I loved, but I also thought that the kids could learn in a new way. And so they write these really great narratives, and I show them examples of slam poetry and rappers and kind of how they tell this really wonderful story that's kind of intertwined. And we always talk about how history is a story, so thus the rap battle Royale was created.
In 1791, there would be a tax on whiskey. He got tax collector to go to each home. This filled America with angry people. Farmers marched. They burned houses too. This tested the government since it was new. Federalists and Republicans born out the blue. They were normal people, just like me and you. Federalists.
For the most part, this year, students are working on this independently, but we do have a few partner groups that are going back and forth, and they're kind of riffing off of each other. So I think that we have a few Thomas Jefferson, John Adams groups. There's a George Washington, John Adams group. I remember a few years back, whenever I first introduced the assignment, there was someone who they dissed George Washington's teeth. Like that was their whole rap. It was about dissing his teeth. So there's definitely an element of battle to it, but it's not required.
Yeah, I'm the one in that section. So Hamilton, if you got some bridges to burn, at least wait till I'm done with my second term.
Wow, okay, you went there. I see how it is. Before you run your mouth off.
What are the learning objectives for them going into this? What are you hoping that they'll dive into as far as connecting the rap battle to the content?
Well, my hope is that they will have this opportunity to be creative in the way that they're displaying their knowledge. I think that anybody can take a test. I mean, that's something that we all have done, and maybe we have differing comfort levels with how we take tests. But this gives the students the opportunity to express themselves through written form and to really take the information that we've learned in class and make it come alive through their own voice. Whenever I think of you know, in the real world, I used to work in the business world. And whenever I think of like people that really were successful, they were the people that were able to be creative and think outside of the box. So I want to be dynamic in the way that I'm assessing my students so that they have opportunities to just be individual in the way that they express themselves instead of like circling A or giving me the Treaty of Paris as the treaty that ended the American Revolution. I want them to rap about that or give me this dope like line of poetry about that instead, and just kind of see where they take it.
Back. Washington took office in 1789. The position of his best friend was definitely mine. Secretary of State, Foreign Affairs, that's me. Secretary of War, God, what a bore. Henry Knox, what a shock. Well, then there is Treasury. Ew, that one is not for me. Hamilton, delegating where money goes, totally blows. Attorney General comes last. That one must be a blast. Advising the president on legal matters really flatters Edmund Randolph. Washington, trying to get us out of our debts. He thinks he can do it. Ladies, place your bets. France and Britain, not backing down. They still mad because we knocked off their crown. Alexander Hamilton, I'm not a fan. Messing with our money with your three-step plan. You know that's failing, honey, but I bet you think you're the man.
How do you assess them?
We have a rubric, and the rubric is looking at content. It also looks a little bit at their presentation style. So I talk to them about flow and how they can create flow with their voice, and there doesn't necessarily have to be a beat to their talking, but there's a rhythm in the way that we talk. They also need to be really poignant in the way that they display this information. So the depth of their knowledge is shown through their lyrics. And the more in-depth they go, the more points they receive. But the benefit of doing something like this is that they have access to their notes and my notes throughout the process of writing their lyrics. So I find that students that would give a lot of detail on their tests, they still do. And the ones that don't, even with the resources that they have provided, they usually don't. So it always seems to be an accurate assessment of what people know, even though everybody starts out on this level playing field.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen students that generally don't flourish in more of the paper pencil sort of exam really take hold of this assignment?
Absolutely. Like, I feel like whenever we have these projects, students really struggle because it's an unorthodox way to assess them. But then whenever we present, people just blow my mind. Like, I have students that I didn't know were as strong of writers because whenever we write a creative essay or some kind of editorial in class, it's not really their strong suit. But then whenever they have this ability to perform, something comes out of our students that I haven't really seen before.
It's my plan's three-step plan. You will be missed. Tommy, my bridges are down if you're looking for somewhere to kiss. Oh! Knock, knock, it's me again, Alexander Hamilton, protected like a tariff with my educated men. Be calling ourselves Federists, but you can call us Betterlists. We're wealthy and good-looking like our shiny, swanky banks. Keep our trade and shaping tight, too slim for your southern Spanx. When it comes to snacking, we prefer British tea. No time for common folks, bougie boulangerie. French. So step aside, slave-obsessed peasants. It's my turn to up to bat. Besides, haven't you heard? Agriculture makes you fat. Oh!
So you're doing this more in the history context, which seems to make sense because you think of Hamilton and all the other aspects that kids are already seeing, sort of this hip-hop or slam poetry sort of style performance with history embedded into it. How do you see this working into other content areas?
I think it can work in any content area, especially at our school where we're really talking about writing across the curriculum. This just offers an alternative to a paper and pencil writing that students are doing. It offers this element of performance that can allow students to flourish that may not be so strong suited to just putting all of their ideas on paper, but they can perform and they can be creative. Hamilton was a huge inspiration for this project originally. I had students that were super into Hamilton whenever it first came out, and I always wish that like we lived closer to New York City so that we could take a group of students there as I was teaching, you know, our American Revolution unit in early American history. But this kind of brings that part of the city into our classroom. So
could this work in something like the math and the sciences, and to what capacity if they weren't doing raps about people in the math and the sciences, but actual topics in
math
and science?
Yeah, I mean, I see this working really well in math. I've seen this work in Spanish classes as well, with conjugation of verbs. For a math class, I think that maybe something like whenever you're learning factoring, like the rules of factoring, or maybe it's something you could use to remember formulas. Maybe in those instances, it's more of like the teacher providing an example of, you know, this is what the formula is for a math class, and I'm going to present it to you in a really unique way so that I'm not just writing it on the board, but I'm creating this verse that you can actually replay in your mind whenever you're taking an assessment. I mean, I used to use this whenever I was taking biology and physics in high school. And I remember vividly, like, there was the parts of plants and parts of animals, like an anatomy type of lesson that we were learning. And I just created a song in my head based off of my notes. And I aced the test. And I remember everybody was like, whoa, like, how did you remember all of that? And I was like, I created a song for it. And I just sang it throughout the test. So, I mean, I think it could be a really useful tool all across the curriculum. You would just have to really capture as a guide, what do we want our students to learn, and place those objectives first before you give the assignment.
It's funny you brought up the quadratic formula, because I think my teacher in high school set that to the theme. I can't remember what the theme is, but it's like x equals negative b plus or minus square root b squared minus 4ac all over 2a. And like, I still remember,
and you remember it
now.
It.
Yeah. And then the foreign language, I wasn't even thinking about that. But that reminds me, in fifth grade, where we learned all the capitals of all the South American countries with a song. It was like Caracas, Venezuela,
yeah.
Bogota, Colombia,
Lima,
Peru. Lima. You got the same song.
Yeah, La Paz, so, yeah. Bolivia.
And just putting that on the kids to create those songs. Or like, I like what you said. It's just providing them with an example of it, maybe in one content area or one topic of your content area. And then letting them, okay, you guys are going to do this for this content area or different topics in that unit, to do some kind of free verse or some kind of rap or some kind of song.
Yeah. I mean, I had an old teaching colleague who made this awesome. She's a Spanish teacher. She made a Princess of Ser video that has like a crazy number of hits on YouTube. And she was just messing around and wanted to make a video to help her students understand how to conjugate this verb. And now, like, well, I think Sarah's a verb. I didn't take Spanish, I took French, but it was one of those things that she used for the rest of her years of teaching. And later on, it kind of developed into her creating these rhymes and then the students creating stop motions or claymation videos. And they used her lyrics as voiceover for these stop motions or claymations that they made. So there's still this really like creative element by the students. They have to internalize the information that they're receiving from their teacher, but it's not in this traditional lecture form or, you know, taking notes off of the board. It's really more dynamic and allows the students to think in a more dynamic way.
First things first, let's talk about GW. He was the very first president we ever knew, not counting John Hanson, that is. He went from Virginia to NYC. There he started his presidency. He took his job very seriously. Oh yeah, and he had wooden teeth.
We just won a revolution. Washington's president after we changed our constitution. But there are still some things to change. George hires a cabinet to help him reign. There's a secretary of state. That's Thomas Jefferson. Help him with foreign places, working with the president. Secretary of Treasury, Hamilton's in charge. Helping all the money, wants us economically large.
And I've got Hamilton, Jefferson, and Knox helping me. Thomas Jefferson deals with foreign affairs, and if we want to go to war, Henry Knox is there. Hamilton makes all financial plans, and when you need legal advice, Randolph is your man.
Have you ever shown any of the epic rap battles of history off a YouTube channel for the kids?
I definitely have, but I always have to preview them because some of them end up being super inappropriate for some reason. But yes, like in the past I have, or I'll just show examples of, you know, the Hamilton play that's going on, because I think that provides a really good template for what we're trying to achieve ultimately.
Well, thank you for sharing, Shalimar.
Thank you, Tom.
See ya.
See ya.
Shalimar has allowed me to share the rubric that she uses to assess the students, and that's going to be linked in the show notes of the show. If you'd like to connect with Shalimar, you can find her on LinkedIn. Just search Shalimar Chiesa, C-H-A-L-I-M-A-R, Chiesa, C-H-I-E-Z-A. That's it for this episode of the Tom Gibson Podcast. If you like this podcast, found it helpful, useful, entertaining, then go ahead and leave a review in either Apple Podcast or Stitcher, which will help other people find the show. My name is Tom Gibson. If you'd like to connect with me, I'm at TomGibson.com, TomGibson.com, or on Twitter at GibsonEDU. Thank you so much for listening today, and hopefully I will see you in the next episode of the Tom Gibson Podcast.